Hello, and welcome to the audio version of the Weekly Edge. If you would like to see the charts that we mentioned, all linked articles, as well as relevant disclosures, please visit newedgewealth.com. The Weekly Edge, The Future Freaks Me Out, or Everything is All Right, by Cameron Dawson and Brian Nick, February 28th, 2026. I Don't Get Drum and Bass, The Future Freaks Me Out, by Motion City Soundtrack. Oh, Please Tell Me That You're All Right, Yeah, Everything is All Right, by Motion City Soundtrack. Markets are in the business of discounting the future. For equity markets, most of the time that future is expected to be bright, or at least better than the recent past. After all, the history of the U.S. equity market over the long term shows that it increases in value 75% of the time over 12-month periods. Occasionally, instead of being optimistic about the future, equity markets become thoroughly and quote freaked out by the future, singing along to The Future Freaks Me Out with those slightly neurotic synth punk emo purveyors Motion City Soundtrack. There are times when this freak out is well warranted, such as in anticipation of a recession where earnings are expected to decline, liquidity is expected to contract, and overall risk appetite is expected to recede. Oftentimes in this scenario, prices correct first as valuations fall, and then earnings or fundamental estimates are trimmed, causing the correction to be deeper and more protracted. Then there are times that this freakout is an overreaction, where prices correct far further and faster than what is warranted by fundamentals. Oftentimes in this scenario, prices correct first as valuations fall, but then earnings fundamentals and estimates remain resilient, causing the correction to be shorter and shallower. It is here that investors eventually swap Motion City Soundtrack tunes, ditching the Future Freaks Me Out, for the closing classic Everything is All Right. This brings us to today's freakout in markets. Over the last few weeks, we have seen a string of articles, anecdotes, and addendums, we have linked to all of these things that we're mentioning, that have caused investors to grow increasingly concerned about how artificial intelligence could cause major disruptions to industries and the broader economy. Investors have been quick to sell shares of companies at just an utterance of potential disruption from AI. But notably, this freakout has not yet resulted in a meaningful drop in the index level of the S&P 500, as it remains just 2% off all-time highs, having hovered near these levels for the past 4 months. This index level resilience is thanks to the pain of AI disruption losers being mostly offset by the celebration of both AI infrastructure beneficiaries and areas of the market that are deemed, in quote, safe from AI disruption, like physical asset-intensive industries, which is now being dubbed HALO, or Heavy Asset, Low Obsolescence. Further, this freakout has not come with a deterioration in estimates for the U.S. economy or corporate earnings broadly, but instead has been driven solely by a large reset lower in valuations for AI disruption losers and reset higher in valuations for everywhere else that investors are hiding out. We do note that after some software reports this week that underwhelmed investors, we have started to see forward earnings estimates for some of the disrupted names begin to get trimmed. But there's another layer to this market freakout, with more headlines this week about credit issues starting to percolate. In many ways, these credit concerns are far more pressing for markets, as they could spark a broader risk-off move versus the risk-swap move we have seen with the recent leadership rotation. So this raises the question, what Motion City Soundtrack song should we be singing? Should we bust a move to The Future Freaks Me Out, or should we be, in quote, better at fighting the future and sing Everything is All Right? To answer this, we will look at the AI fears, discuss the rotation in leadership and how it is supported by the current growth data backdrop, and finish by looking at how credit fears are starting to flash some risk-off warning signs. I'm on fire, and now I think I'm ready to bust a move. AI fears. The most remarkable thing about the last few weeks of AI jump scares is just how rapidly the viral articles, which we linked to above, have spread and how quickly investors have been to price in the potential yet still nebulous impacts of AI disruption into stock prices. At first, The stock reactions were all about valuations. Look at the forward PE multiple of the software industry dropping from 34 times forward last fall to 22 times forward today. A lower multiple reflects less confidence that the current run rate of growth, sales, margins, and earnings can or should be extrapolated or capitalized into the future. We always emphasize that price does, in fact, lead data. So seeing share prices react before fundamentals is perfectly normal. But this week, we actually began to see some EPS forecast cuts for software names that reported earnings. For example, the chart below shows the earnings estimates for the software company Workday and how they have been trimmed for calendar 2027 and 2028. Of course, the move in the stock is far larger than the cut in earnings estimates, but as we pointed out above, price drops reflect diminished market willingness to extrapolate today's earnings power perpetually into the AI future. Looking at these early estimate cuts raises an important point for the question about AI's impact on markets versus the economy. The AI doomsday articles, like Satrini's, looked at both individual business and economic disruptions, but it would be reasonable to expect that business and stock-level disruptions will come far faster than potential broader economic disruptions. It's also becoming harder to identify whether AI-related or supposedly AI-related distortions will have positive or negative impacts on individual company stock prices. Take this past week's announcement from Block, for example, a fintech firm led by former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. The company announced it was laying off 40% of its workforce, given the possibilities to enhance productivity of the remaining 60% with various AI tools. Whether truly AI-driven or simply an appreciated acknowledgement of the firm's overhiring in the early 2020s, this mass layoff announcement was greeted with a 16% rise in the share price. In the past week alone, the prevailing market narrative has swung wildly from doom to euphoria to shrug, as seen in the weak reaction to NVIDIA's blockbuster earnings. Sometimes as investors, we must be humble enough to admit that we don't know what the impact of AI will be in the longer term, or what the market reaction will be as we all discover the answers along the way. Overreacting to a single written piece or four-day trend can cause one to miss the bigger picture. So in our next section, we'll talk about how major equity indices have remained so resilient despite the wild swings under the surface. Oh, please tell me that you're all right. Macro picture helping support markets. Of course, anytime there is a significant intra-market rotation, investors will tend to focus most keenly on what is happening to broad indexes like the S&P 500. And the answer there, since as far back as last October, has been not much. This may be hard to believe for anyone reading AI impact manifestos on X or Substack, or watching individual sectors like software lose up to a third of their value in the span of just a few months. Crucially, the intra-market divergence has occurred in the context of a significant upward revision to consensus economic growth for 2026. This has allowed cyclical stocks, more exposed to the economic phases but less exposed to AI, to rally, as seen in the chart below. This upward revision to economic growth has effectively given investors the comfort to hide out from AI disruption in parts of the market that historically have been considered riskier, lower quality, and more volatile and cyclical. This is why we are calling this backdrop not a risk-off, but a risk-swap environment. If we were to see a greater weakening in the economic outlook, whether it is due to AI disruption or credit liquidity tightening, then we do not think that these cyclical areas of the market would be able to sustain their leadership, which is another reason why relative strength in defensives like staples, utilities, and healthcare must be monitored closely. So-called soft data, gathered from surveys instead of measurable spending or output, has been an unreliable market timer in recent years. But the ISM Manufacturing Survey's new orders component has a very strong track record in correctly forecasting earnings estimates, as we show in the chart below. The positive vibes from business sentiment go beyond the single ISM poll and include the vast majority of regional Fed surveys taken each month. Companies are feeling better about the environment here in early 26 for reasons that seem to have little to do with AI. Orders for capital goods have picked up, and even manufacturing output, measured in volume, not in dollars, has escaped a multi-year period of stagnation, as shown in the chart below. If there is one lingering concern we continue to harbor on the outlook, it is the further weakening of consumer spending growth. It was just 1.7% in 2025 after inflation, due to smaller increases in wages and depleted household savings. Should next week's February employment report corroborate the solid January print, it would raise the floor on just how far stocks are likely to fall should AI-related jitters remain prevalent among market participants. As a market gut check for consumer concerns, we continue to watch this ratio of equal weight discretionary versus staple stocks. It has continued to be weak to start 2026, so if we were to see signs of a downtrend beginning to emerge, lower highs and lower lows, we would likely raise our concern about the outlook for the consumer. I'm sick of the things I do when I'm nervous. Taking credit concerns seriously. One of the factors working against the cyclical-led stock rally has been concerns about credit risk, which affects banks and diversified financial firms most acutely. The chart below shows the absolute and relative deterioration in the financial sector, its near relative lows, and trading below its 200-day moving average. Now, on the surface, public credit spreads are still quite tight compared to longer-term history, even if they did reach their widest points of the year just last week. But the bulk of credit concerns are coming from outside the corporate bond markets. Stocks of leading asset managers that focus on private credit have been pummeled for more than a year as investors try to mark to market these normally opaque portfolios. Strategists at UBS revised up their expected default rate on private loans for software exposure, which is enough to keep markets spooked and financial stocks under pressure. The headlines about private illiquid credit woes continue to pile up. Here's a smattering of the headlines from the last 3 days alone, including ones from KKR, Apollo, Blackstone, and more, and likely are contributing to the safe haven risk-off bid we are seeing in Treasury markets, where the 10-year Treasury has resolutely broken below 4%, as seen below. If the Treasury market was truly contemplating an acceleration in nominal GDP growth, we doubt that we would be seeing the 10-year with a 3-handle, but given the deterioration in credit conditions and spreads that are still historically tight, we could be seeing bond investors prefer the relative safety of treasuries, thus pushing yields lower. As described in the prior section, the current data does not suggest a current deterioration in the economy, which makes this drop in yields or rally in bonds all the more peculiar. To see this, look at the chart below showing the divergence between economic surprises, which have risen materially lately, and the 10-year Treasury, which has been falling. At least from this lens, the bond market seems to be singing, "The future freaks me out," even though the present data suggests that everything is all right. But I'm getting better at fighting the future. Conclusion. The S&P 500 is at a critical juncture as of the close on Friday. It has traded down to support at its 100-day moving average, with a break below this level potentially putting the 200-day moving average and the October-November lows as the next level of support. But as has been customary for the market in 2026, this softness in the capitalization weight index stands in contrast to the relative resilience of the equal weight S&P 500, shown below at just a hair under new all-time highs and a much more distinct uptrend. This is made possible thanks to the risk swap versus risk off nature of this market, where investors have rotated out of AI disrupted names and into any area that is perceived to be relatively immune to these technological tectonic shifts. These winning areas are inherently risky themselves, but investors are taking solace in still resilient economic data that makes having cyclical exposure more palatable, at least for now. It is this last point that reinforces why we have to watch the credit woes so closely, as credit issues do have the potential to dent risk appetite and morph this risk swap move into a broader risk off move. If all of this is making you feel slightly neurotic, then you will feel right at home listening to Motion City soundtrack, and it is probably best to go ahead and listen to both songs, as both The Future Freaks Me Out and Everything Is All Right appear to describe today's market environment.